Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
Which bogus settler country banishes its political prisoners and executes them? Is this South Africa or America?
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. In late November, the Illinois Department of Corruption revealed its latest attempt to divide and conquer prisoners in a new policy entitled Renunciation Process. It was first implemented at TAM-CMAX, Illinois' new Supermax dungeon. Now, to gain freedom from cages, captors demand that prisoners renounce their political and philosophical beliefs, their affiliations with so-called gangs, and become informants for the administration. One prisoner wrote to MIM, "Upon our arrival at TAMS 18 months ago, they stated that we would have to do a year with no disciplinary tickets and then we would be released to the general population. With the new policy, unless we renounce affiliation and become informants, we will not be released from the supermax." This policy is simply an old story with a new cover. It's designed to create dissension among prisoners, to have prisoners view each other with anger and suspicion. This is a control tactic that captors across the country have utilized for centuries. They are well aware that if they can keep prisoners focused on each other, then prisoners have no time to scrutinize their enemy. That enemy is the captors themselves. MIM sees parallels between the United Snakes' willingness to warehouse accused gang members until they renounce their beliefs and South Africa's former official apartheid policies of banning political activists. America has tried to wash its hands of association with the brutal former white minority regime in South Africa by forging neocolonial ties with Nelson Mandela and Thabo Mbeki. For we remind our listeners that the policy of apartheid, or in English, separation of the different oppressed and settler nation groups in South Africa, committed evils that cannot be expunged by a change in government officials or a constitution without fundamental revolutionary change. Since apartheid was supposedly dismantled, the situation in South Africa has not improved for the black Azanian people. As Dennis Brutus, an Azanian activist, said, "Men in the police force boast of having killed Stephen Biko. Other murderers from the apartheid regime have been welcomed into the military. 200,000 white civil servants kept their jobs for life after apartheid, the same sweet deal these whites enjoyed under apartheid." America's present prison system bears a likeness to the South African past. Optimal conditions at TAM-CMAX include 4 visits through a glass partition each month, 5 showers per week, and 1 hour of solitary yard time per day. Standard treatment for prisoners who speak out against the criminal injustice system is for guards and wardens to take punitive measures against them in barely concealed retaliation for their activism. Many politically active prisoners find themselves under so-called administrative measures that restrict their most basic activities. And as in South Africa, these conditions will not improve with token changes in administration. With confinement conditions like they are, it'd be easy to see why some prisoners would give in to the prisoncrats' coercion and snitch for personal benefit. But one prisoner wrote, quote, "I for one will never renounce my political or philosophical ideology, nor will I inform on my fellow comrades. My mother did not raise rats, she raised men. Plus I am a Maoist, and the people's concerns are my concern. The people's lives are my concern. I shall never renounce what I believe in, because then I would be renouncing the people and the struggles for which our comrades who have passed on have fought for." America's imprisonment is political. America imprisons more people per capita than any other country in the world. Imprisonment rates for members of oppressed nations grossly outweigh rates for white settler nation members. MIM often points out that America imprisons more blacks per capita than did South Africa during its official policy of apartheid. This is a striking comparison to a country that maintains strict policies barring blacks from living in cities, from associating too closely with whites, from free travel within their own country, participation in government, and of course, from protesting any of these regulations. The security threat group policies, with their requirement of isolating branded prisoners, beg a comparison with South Africa's banning laws, which forcibly restrained individuals from broad forms of contact with society. Banning was a tool of the Afrikaner nationalist movement in South Africa, used to silence political opposition. Stephen Biko, martyred in 1977 when security police murdered him in a so-called interrogation, was banned in the years before his death because of his vocal activism. In his book, Biko, reporter Donald Wood describes Banning as being forbidden to write anything, even a diary or a postcard, forbidden to speak to or associate with more than one person at a time, other than members of my immediate family, forbidden to travel, communicate publicly, or to be quoted in any publication. In South Africa, it is clear that a grossly undemocratic government exercised repressive power over the indigenous Azanian people. When a settler or colonial or semi-colonial, like here in the United States, government enacts such policies against the oppressed nationalities, we know the purpose is to restrict the people's just expression of national self-determination. When America enacts the same policies within its borders, the analysis is the same. America labels prisoner organizations as gangs, security threat groups, or STGs, and that is an attempt by the prison system to stop political organizing. MIM Notes in this program has reported that prisoners are labeled as part of security threat groups, or STGs, because of their tattoos, the language they speak, and for associating with other prisoners who are labeled as part of an STG. Politically active prisoners and prisoners in religious groups are given the security threat group designation. Security threat group policies provide for resentencing and reclassifying prisoners without benefit of a trial or representation. The Michigan Department of Corrections security threat group policy, for example, refers to level 1, 2, and 3 classifications, each of which carries a required term in a high security prison and increased restrictions on contact with the outside world. Because security threat group labeling is a disciplinary action within the prison system, in its essence a post-conviction event, prisoners' recourse in dealing with the effects is seriously limited. It's simple for some activists to see that the imprisonment of Mamia Abu-Jamal and Leonard Peltier demonstrate that there is a political imprisonment in the United States. The imprisonment of revolutionary leaders because they fought for better conditions shows that America will brutalize, frame, and even murder those who speak against imperialism. But the mass imprisonment of oppressed nationals also demonstrates that America will stop at nothing to keep the dictatorship of the settler bourgeoisie going. When prisoners, whether imprisoned originally for political actions or not, organize within the walls, they face severe retribution. America's security threat group policies represent a growing monster and a systemic way to stop political organizing within prisons. Just as we must struggle for the freedom of revolutionary leaders framed and imprisoned for political activities, we must fight for the end to America's entire system of political imprisonment and social control. America uses step-by-step divide-and-conquer tactics. The snakes at TAM's CMAX were so intent on making their new policy known that they slithered from cell to cell, reading the new memo to every prisoner. Each prisoner was further encouraged to check into protective custody once they've informed on their comrades. The Illinois Department of Corrections administrative directive related to inmates' renunciation of affiliation with security threat groups sets forth requirements for release from closed maximum security status, which is the entire TAMT prison. The policy articulated a three-step process, which is as follows. The inmate must first provide a signature to request for a renunciation, which will be considered by the administration at a later time. Second, an inmate must provide information into gang activity. And lastly, the administration considers the prisoner's request for renunciation and bases its decision on such. The policy states that those who simply refuse to comply will never be eligible for release from TAMS into the general population. They must remain in TAMS until their mandatory supervised release or parole. Those who comply leave TAMS only after providing information into gang activity. In other words, a prisoner who wants to leave TAMS must become a stool pigeon. There's no compromising or bypassing this step. The policy also stipulates that you can be returned to supermax status if found to be in the company of anyone in the security threat group. Their definition of a member of a security threat group fits 95% of the Illinois prison population. We must fight the policy and end oppression. Brothers, please keep a code of silence. The renunciation policy is illegal because it conflicts with Illinois Administrative Code Section 505.60. Let's work together to have the policy abolished. Be patient. The legal process in challenging the policy has already begun. Be strong a minute longer and don't compromise your principles and integrity. The captors are well aware that unity among prisoners denotes a loss of control for this corrupt system. So yes, let's renounce. Renounce the fact that we're held like animals in cages 23 hours a day. Renounce being denied contact with family, wives, and children. Renounce captivity. Recognize and renounce your true enemy. There is no way to end the oppression of prisons, including the policies that keep prisoners from associating with each other, short of our own organizing efforts. People working with MIM, both inside and outside of TAMS, are fighting these policies in the context of revolutionary organizing. Such policies are intended to keep prisoners from working together against all facets of American imperialism.
In a few moments, we will bring you a commentary by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia is a Black Nation revolutionary fighting for his life on Pennsylvania's death row. Mumia was framed for the murder of a police officer because he is an outspoken opponent of American imperialism.
My name is John Edgar Wideman. There is a kind of glory in the struggle. I was lucky enough to be in South Africa when Mandela, the day he was released, and I heard him speak to his comrades who he hadn't seen, some of them, for 27 years. When he walked into the room, he said, "I knew that I was coming out of that prison." He said, "I knew they were going to release me because I could feel what was happening in the streets. The people had decided I was coming out. That's why I'm out here." Think about a Mandela and the powers that were arrayed against him. Think of a Mumia and the powers that are lined up against him. And take heart.
South Africa, the beautiful yet haunted land of racist repression most vile, has marched past its western neighbor, the United States, as its highest court, the 11-member Constitutional Court, found the death penalty as applied in South Africa was unconstitutional. Court President Arthur Chaskalson ruled there was no proof of the death penalty's deterrent value and held it violated the interim constitution, which guarantees in Section 9 the right to life. The ruling was unanimous. The case stemmed from a challenge lodged by lawyers for two men sentenced to death after being convicted of murder, Temba Makwanyane and Mvuzo Muchunyu. Lawyers for the two men also argued that state executions violate the fundamental principle of equality, again, because all people are supposed to be equal before the law, but in reality, they are not. A similar challenge, made in the infamous American case, McCleskey versus Kemp, raised similar issues of racial disparity, but what was found unconstitutional in South Africa was found perfectly fine in the USA. South Africa continues to fascinate us in the US, for it is, in a sense, a dark mirror through which we see ourselves, as both lands are driven by racial conflict. Both nations are settler nations created by European invasions of non-European territories. Both nations utilize the legal process to steal native lands, disinherit native peoples, and dislocate native populations. Indeed, the hated Bantustan system, by which Africans were restricted to tribal homelands, has its intellectual and legal genesis in the American reservation system, where so-called Indians were sent. Both native peoples corralled in their own national birthlands to the poorest, most worthless bits of earth imaginable. For the better part of a century, weren't U.S. blacks relegated to ghettos because of restrictive covenants and housing laws? After such a wretched history, only South Africa appears to be moving incrementally in the right direction, at least on this issue. South Africa, still one of the most violent nations on earth, turned away from 350 years of capital punishment in one opinion issued by the Constitutional Court. Is the right to life more constitutional in South Africa than in the United States of America? It would seem so. Seen from this light, South Africa, once so roundly condemned by the world community, walks in step with the world majority who have damned the practice of capital punishment. Not so the USA, where words on an age-stained document hold little meaning at all. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.